Good afternoon. This is Clarissa Jean DiPilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. And I've got it in my heart today to share something from Psalm 1. I had purposed in my heart the other night that I was going to start going through the Psalms and just sharing from a devotional perspective, from an encouragement perspective, from just a sweet little intimate type of communion perspective from the Psalms and get what we can out of them, glean and go through them in order. I've been having a little bit of a problem with sleeping, and it came into my heart to go to bed reading the Psalms, and that would be kind of a little bit of a cure for me, and I've been doing that, and it's worked. But right out the gate, when I looked into Psalm 1, and I did record something in the way I'm saying I had in my mind to do, but right coming out of the gate, I saw something in this psalm that I had never caught before. And it's kind of a fun thing, and it's kind of a, it can be used as a tool to help you identify where your heart is as far as ministry. Now, let me start by saying that they're believing in a relational gospel, believing in that this walk we have with the Lord puts us in relationship with Him and in relationship with others. I feel my heart tending to want to share with God's people from out of that order, more so than out of the motivational order that many are using now, the motivational model and the theme model, whereby you know that God's people need something, and so you go to the scriptures and you gather all the little scriptures that fit your whatever you're sharing about. Say you're sharing about how to be an excellent to have excellent stewardship, and you might go through all the scriptures on stewardship, or how to be a better friend, and you go through all the scriptures. A lot of how to be a better friend. You go through all the scriptures on what it takes to be a good friend or a wise person, whatever you might choose. You gather from your different sources, and people use the Bible, and then they use other sources. They'll use well-known authors and 7 steps to be a highly successful person, things like that. But the way the Lord is leading me in the Word is a little bit different, in that he just causes scriptures to come alive, explode in my heart and my spirit, and then I feel like I can't help but share what God is giving to me. And this is kind of what happened with Psalm 1. And I'll read it in completion, just so we have it. We'll read it and then put it on the back burner, and then I'm going to go through it piece by piece to show you how, just by listening to this word, if I minister effectively, by listening to this word, something in your soul is going to grab hold of that which causes an igniting to cause you to know where you plug in to the body of Christ, where you plug into your calling. And not, I realize not everybody's called to the fivefold ministry, but if you're not called to the fivefold ministry, you'll find that there's something here. Maybe it's just that you're supposed to pray for someone who is ministering out of fivefold ministry. You're supposed to be a prayer warrior on their part, or you're supposed to sit under their ministry. But let's just get this psalm read first. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And when I read that scripture, I saw in this scripture a key to understanding your connection to fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Now, when you read in, I think it's in the book of Ephesians about the fivefold ministry, or maybe it's Corinthians, but one of those scriptures it says that he gave some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And we read that and we think of that without having any commas. But if you'll notice, and I'm not going to look it up right now, but if you take the time to run your references on the terms that denote fivefold ministry, you'll see that there's a comma there, which means that he gave some apostles. To some he gave apostles. He gave some, comma, prophets. In other words, he gave to some to some people, they would best benefit being under the ministry of a prophet. And he gave to some teachers. Not he gave some teachers, he gave some, comma, teachers. Some people got teachers, some got apostles, some got prophets, some got evangelists, some got which one am I missing? Pastors, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and I'm missing one. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's five. Okay, we got them all. But you see what I'm saying? He gave to different groups of people, he gave different portions of the fivefold ministry. That's why it's so important that there be cross-pollination in the body of Christ. It's so important not to have an us four and no more mentality. It is so important for your fellowship to recognize that you need every segment, you need every part of the body of Christ. Because if you're the little group of some that got teachers, or the little group of some that got evangelists, you need to have input every now and then from another part of the body of Christ that got prophets or apostles. You need to We need to have an exchange. And I love the scripture about how every man gained by trading, talking about the talents that were giving, and the Lord gave the talents out and they had to go out, and there was one man who was displeased the Lord because he just stuck his little portion in a napkin, buried it in the earth, which can speak of burying it in our flesh. But anyway, those who were successful gained by trading. In other words, in the body of Christ, it means you go out and you find that man, that woman of God that needs what you need, that needs the portion that you're lacking, and you sit and you receive. You receive from that ministry. Now, let's get into this. I'm going to show you as I read, and we can even use our imaginations. Pretend we're in some kind of a Bible school class, and there are five actors doing a little skit in front of the class, and they're using this as their play, or as their source for what they're going to share. And as they share, each one shares their part. One is going to be more is going to have more impact on your soul than another part. And when you feel that impact into your spirit, you'll know that the Lord is trying to show you something about your calling, or about where your burden is to be, where you're to plug into the body of Christ and receive something from the Lord, either to give or to receive. Either that's a ministry you're type you're to be sitting under, or you're to study, to show yourself approved, to set yourself, to get yourself by God set into the body of Christ as it pleases him. And this is where you're going to find your greatest unction and your greatest power, is when you plug into the right spot where you're supposed to be plugged in. Now let's just go and start reading. And first we're going to call for the prophet. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here comes the prophet on the scene. The prophet wants things in black and white. They don't want you mixing with the world. The prophet doesn't want you hanging out with sinners. The prophet wants you to separate yourself, be apart, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. Prophets can be really annoying because they just don't ever seem to see things in a balanced view. They just seem to be to one extreme or the other. They seem to be black or white. And here's the prophet. He comes along and he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I'm a prophet of God, and I'm telling you, your life will be blessed if you stay away from the ungodly, if you stay away from sinners, if you don't have a scornful personality. Praise God, your life is going to be blessed. Listen to the prophet, you're going to prosper. Hear the word of the Lord through the man of God who's a prophet. Do what he says, and he's telling you to stay away from those sinners and praise God. You do that, and you are going to be successful. Your life is going to be blessed. Then in walks the teacher, and the teacher says to you, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night." The teacher. He loves the word. He loves the law. He loves to meditate in the scripture. If when you read that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and you're thinking, "Wow, I can't wait to get home and look up the scriptures. Wow, I see in my Bible as I'm reading, there's extra references here. I need to look these up. I gotta jot down what that means. Oh, I hope he doesn't preach too fast or talk too fast, because I want to go right over now and see what does Psalm 119:15 say, and Joshua 1:8 say, and Psalm 119:1 say, because I got the heart of the teacher, and it's my delight to be meditating in the law. Yeah, I know we need to stay away from the worldly people. I know we need to not love the world or the things of the world. I know that we gotta have a separate life, and I agree with that prophet. But hey, this is where I'm at. My delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm teaching. I'm a teacher. I'm chewing on it. I'm meditating it. Hey, bring up another stomach. I wish I was a cow. I could chew the cud because this stuff is really good. You hear what I'm saying? That's the teacher. But in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. In walks the apostle. What does the apostle have to say? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The prophet wants, the apostle wants you to be established. The apostle wants you to be planted. The apostle wants to see you with good foundations. The apostles wants to see you set in the body where you belong. And the apostle's listening to these other two, and this is what he's hearing. Oh, amen, that's good. Oh, I'm so glad prophet so-and-so is here, and he's teaching these people. He's prophesying to these people to come out from among them. He's prophesying to them not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not to sitteth in the seat of standeth in the way of sinners, not to sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that's really good. And yes, that's a good place to start. And wow, listen to that teacher. Isn't he stirring the people up to love the Lord and to love the Word and to just want to spend time? Oh my goodness, they can go on a mountain with their Bible. They can go over to the ocean and sit with their laptop, and they'll have to have something over their laptop screen so the bright sun doesn't get in the way. But boy, I'm enjoying that teacher because he's really encouraging the people of God to just love the study of the Word, and that's really good. And they need to study to show themselves approved, and they need to get the word inside, and they need to know their Bible so they know when someone comes along if they're lying or telling them the truth. And I love how the teacher just wants to impart a love for the word, a love for the scripture, a love for the Bible stories. But I'm an apostle of the Lamb, and I want God's people to have the right foundation. I want them to be solid. I want them to know Hebrews 6. I want them to know Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want them to be established in present truth. I want them to be on a solid rock. I want them to go into Matthew and Mark, Luke, John, wherever you can find the scriptures about the wise man who built his house upon a solid rock, how he dug down deep to that foundation, because I'm an apostle and I want God's people founded on, grounded on the solid rock. And yes, I may be an apostle that establishes lots of churches, and I may be an apostle that's a sent one that goes into the foreign fields, and I've got the heart of a missionary, and I'm going to bring people to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to establish churches, and I got a great big ministry, and I've built a successful church, and there's men and women of God coming out from my loins because I'm a father in the faith. I'm an apostle of the Lamb, and I want to see things built and established, and that's my ministry. I have an apostolic anointing, and it's important. Oh, I feel the burden of getting God's people established in the faith, getting them established in the truth, get them on the solid foundation, get their house built on the rock when the floods comes and the storms come. And the raging winds come and blow upon that house. It's not going to blow over. It's going to stand. And I'm going to do my part. I'm an apostle, and I am going to do my part to make sure God's people get grounded and founded. Hallelujah. On the solid rock, Christ Jesus. His leaf, and then in walks the pastor. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now the leaf we know is the I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering from my science class, just even in my middle school years, back then we used to call it junior high, but I'm pretty sure the leaf is the factory whereby the plant, the water comes up to the roots, but in the leaf system is the factory, the process of photosynthesis, and how the plant is basically nourished in that things happen in that leaf system. But the pastor sees the people of God, doesn't want their leaf to wither, and he wants to see God's people prosper. Now, I know that I'm going to, in this part of this, step on some toes, and people will deliberately mishear me. And some will just not hear me because they don't listen carefully, or maybe I talk too much. But I can tell you, I have never met a true shepherd to the people of God who did not want to see the flock of God, those under his shepherdship, those under his care, to want to see them to be blessed and to be prospered. Do you think it's easy for a man of God that really loves his flock to get up there, know that a lot of those men who are in his congregation, and women too, have got up early all week long to go to a job that they might not really like, to go to a place where there might be in some way some level of abuse, to go to a place where they're overworked and underpaid, and yet that person finds the strength to get up on a Sunday morning, or get to whatever your mode of meeting together for fellowship, tired, weary, comes and sits under the ministry of the pastor. The pastor with a heart for the people sees that, and everything within that pastor wants to see God's people blessed and prospered. They don't have any axes to grind. They're not trying to use their ministry to make themselves rich, but they want to make sure that God's people knows the principles. Know that even as your soul prospers, God is going to bless and prosper you. And that pastor will have a word. There'll be always within his ministry, always that little nugget, that little something that you can grab onto that will cause your soul to prosper, and then will eventually even your pocketbook to prosper, because no true pastor wants to see you struggling, and he wants to see your life blessed. He wants to see your life fruitful. He wants to see your family blessed and fruitful. He wants to see all good things for you. That's the heart of the pastor. And here comes that pastor. He's saying, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He wants to see you blessed. He wants to see you prospering. And shame on ministers who know the principles, work the principles, and I've written a pamphlet years ago, and I need to revive it on tips for a wise giver. And just things that bring that are wisdom in the way we give, because a lot of nonsense has happened around the whole thing of giving the seed time or the seed message of sowing seeds and you'll get a blessing, and it's like you're buying the blessing, and that's not good. But there's some truth there to be had, and the pastor who's successful himself wants his people to be successful, and he's been working some principles that work. He's going to teach them to his people, and in the right spirit, in the right attitude, not the spirit of a charlatan, and that's another message altogether. We're not going to get into that, but if you're a pastor, if you've got a pastor's heart, you're concerned for the blessing and the prosperity of your flock. Okay, let's just take it like this. Say you're a shepherd and you're a real shepherd with real sheep, with the animal, the sheep. And you go out to graze. You go out to take your flock to feed in the pasture. And you're walking down the road, your sheep are following you down this road, this pathway that's leading and winding through the hills and the valleys. And you come to a spot. The road kind of ends, and you see that if you go off to the right, there's bramble and there's the earth is scorched. Maybe there was a fire there or something. Not much grass. There's not much water. No berries. You don't see anything of life on that side of the road. But then you look to the other side. You look to the left, and there's just a beautiful grassy green field, and some berries and some shade trees. Well, where are you going to take your flock? Let's be sensible. You're certainly going to take them where they can get some good feeding. They're going to get some good grass. They're going to get by a pond where they can get some refreshing in the water. Maybe I don't know if sheep like to swim, but they'll go and get a drink from the water and maybe relax under the shade of the trees a little bit. That's where you're going to take your flock to rest. That's where you're going to take them. You're going to take them by the still waters. You're going to take them by the green pastures. You're not going to take them to some desert place. You're not going to take them where there's no food, where there's no feeding. And so if you've got the heart of the shepherd, you're concerned with the daily care. You're concerned that your people and your flock are prospering. If that doesn't mean anything, if that's not important to you, then you're not called to shepherd. If you are pastoring a church, or you're calling yourself as an overseer of the flock of God in any capacity, and you have to be so careful when you use the word church these days, because people are really very offended by a building. They're offended. I mean, just downright offended when you talk about church as if talking about a denomination or a place where you go in a building and there's an order and all that. They don't like it. They don't want to hear that. They always want you to be qualifying what you're saying to make it show that you understand that the church is the body of Christ in the earth, and it's not about a building. It's about God's people, and we are the church, and yes, amen. And so I'm talking to anybody who has either you are an old-fashioned pastor or preacher of a denomination, or if you're someone you're gathering a handful of people in your home and speaking into their lives, and you're shepherding them in some measure, some fashion. You care about their burden. You care that that when they're not prospering, when things are not going right for them, and not prosperity is not just about money. every area of their lives, prospering in their family relationships, prospering in their work environment, prospering in every way. You're a shepherd because you want to see the leaf not withering. You want to see healthy. You want to see health in their lives all the way around, and you want to see prosperity. Praise God. So we've gone over the prophet, wants you to keep separate from the world, wants you to have a godly life, wants you to repent of all your sins, your iniquities, all that, and wants you to just live straight, wants you to see this thing in black and white. You're not gray, you're either black or you're white. You're not both. And then the teacher just wants you in the Word, and just every time they get together, they want to tell you another Bible story. And then the apostle who's going to be right in your face telling you, are you sure you got your foundations rightly laid? Hey, you can't go on. You can't go on to perfection till you get those foundations right laid. Have you read Hebrews 6? Have you read the first couple of verses in Hebrews 6? You need to know. You got to get every one of those foundations stones laid. You want your foundations laid rightly. You want them laid with fair colors. Praise God. You want those foundation stones in place. And then here's that pastor. He's concerned about you. He's concerned that you're prospering and you're blessed. He sees you. He takes it in when you come into his presence, and he can feel when you're hurting and something's not right. That's your pastor and that's your shepherd. And if when I talk about the pastor and the shepherd, people come to your mind, situations come to your mind, nitty-gritty of individual lives come to your mind where you see people are struggling, you may have the call of a pastor or a shepherd. Praise God. Now here we have the evangelist. And I want to talk a little bit about the evangelist in that this is a part of the fivefold ministry. And I remember learning in Bible school how, you know, we're always taught that the evangelist is the one who ministers to the world. The evangelist is the person who goes out and preaches the gospel, holds revival meetings, and gets people to turn from their sins and turn to Jesus. And that is true. But the evangelical calling was to also to the body of Christ. The evangelist is to get you to recognize your need to win souls. The evangelist is a ministry more to the body of Christ than to the world, because all of us, there's a harvest, and I don't care where you come from, what rings your bell, what your part is in this economy of the kingdom of God. You need to have an evangelist reminding you that he that winneth souls is wise. You need to have an evangelist stirring you up to see how the fields are white unto harvest. You need to have an evangelist speaking into your life that's going to remind you that there are precious souls, many in the valley of decision, and you need to care about them. You need to want to stir yourself up to find that one that you can minister to, that you can tell that person about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I just feel like I need to take a pause. And I purposed in my own heart. I know my calling is mostly prophetic. I know that. And I know that my call is mostly to encourage the body of Christ, to encourage God's people in growth and in doctrine. And I see that's where I should plug in. But I feel like the Spirit has quickened me. And take this for yourself. See if the Lord wants you to take this for yourself. But I've determined that at least once a year, I'm going to find a way to minister a good old-fashioned salvation. You need to be born again. You must be born again. Message to the people of God. Just to refresh my own spirit and my mind in the preciousness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I recently did a teaching or a preaching teaching on five launching pad scriptures for preaching the gospel. It's about an hour long, and it's a good teaching. It just gives you five scriptures that you can use if you want to launch out into preaching the gospel, whether it's to a crowd or whether it's just to one person that you're leading, that the Lord's giving you opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm going to get that uploaded on the website, and I hope you'll take time to listen. Here we have, the rest of the verses, I think that we can, in your own study and in your own time and your own meditation, you might see where these fit to more than one. But the first three verses, it's telling you how to be blessed and telling you where a particular ministry expression will find the force of the river to channel it in their expression. Now let's go to verse 4. This person is seeing the difference between the saved and the unsaved, the blessed and the not blessed, the godly and the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. Now, listen to the difference between verse 1 and verse 4. Verse 1 I attributed to the prophetic anointing. The prophets bring a sense of, I don't like the word division, but a sense of seeing, of dividing asunder between soul and spirit, or between life and death, or between what's good and what's not good within the church. They minister within the church, but the evangelist sees people groups or persons who are in the kingdom or not in the kingdom. This group is saved. This group is not saved. They're going to minister to get you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then if things go right in your spiritual life, you'll eventually, or you'll be, we hope it's quicker than just eventually, but you'll be escorted into other types of ministry that will cause growth, that will bring growth in your life, that will cause exactly what the fivefold ministry is all about, which is the perfecting of the saints, so that you'll mature, so that you'll grow. But here comes the evangelist. He sees that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here's the evangelist, and he's got his eye, and he's seeing at every turn, oh my Lord, there's some more ungodly people. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the holy walk. They don't know the way of truth. Oh Lord, this burden is so heavy on me. It upsets me to know that those people, my husband has a heart of an evangelist. He witnesses on his job all the time. He really should be behind a pulpit. I mean, he is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and every chance he gets, he's telling someone about the Lord. And he pretty much lets them know, you plan for your whole life, you plan everything in your life, and you're planning your retirement, you're planning your vacation, you're planning for your kids to go to college, you're planning that next summer you're going to hire someone to do some renovations on your house. You're always planning, you're always thinking ahead. People think ahead about everything, but how come you're not planning for your soul? How come you're not planning for what's even bigger than this life, which is eternity? How come you have no plan set in place to make sure that you make heaven your home? Why is there no plan? He sees that, and he's always expressing that to people, and it stops them up short, and they realize, oh my Lord, he's right. I don't have a plan. Well, thank you, Jesus, that Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. In the courts of heaven, there was a plan, and before the foundation of the world, there was a plan. I love how my pastor in Tucson, Arizona, John Castile, just drove it home into my spirit, how God is a planner, and he expects us to be planners too. We're not to run haphazardly through life, and God is all for us planning. And the evangelist, he sees the ungodly, he sees them, he sees their plight, And he's concerned. And if you are listening to this, and this may be the weakest part of this message, just because I don't have the burden or the heart of an evangelist like my husband does or like some others do, but nevertheless, I want to drive it home. If you've got the heart of the evangelist, you're going to be concerned, and you're going to look at these three verses, and you're going to see the ungodly is mentioned in verse 4, the ungodly is mentioned in verse 5, the ungodly is mentioned in verse 6, and oh my Lord, I feel a burden. I need to do something about that. I need to be ministering. I need to get them so they can be in the first three verses where they're established and where they're righteous and where they're prospering and where they're blessed and they're not walking like sinners, where they have a new life and they have the new birth experience. And I'm very concerned about that. I'm an evangelist. I've got it. Lord, I'm enjoying this church service. And boy, that prophet, he's prophesying up a storm. And oh, there's Sister So-and-so. Didn't she teach it? She made Sunday school sound like I was in a convention this morning. It was so anointed. It was so good. My goodness, she could tell a Bible story like nobody can. Oh, and there's Brother So-and-so again. Oh, my Lord, what an apostolic anointing. He just can't stand the thought of people just not knowing that they can sure they're on the foundation. He wants them on the foundation, and he's sending out. He's got that missionary burden, and he's going to go and. And praise God, our pastor, what a sweet spirit. I feel, when I get around that man, I feel so much love. Oh my goodness, don't I feel love? Don't I just feel like he cares for my soul? But Lord, this is just too much. I feel like we're just preaching to the choir. I need to get out there. I need to preach to those who are not saved. Oh Lord, I wish I was a really great preacher and I could just rent a stadium and fill it with unsaved people and bring people in who can really preach the gospel. Lord, when are we going to have revival? I want to see real revival. Oh, Lord, I'm so hungry for revival. Lord, I see the harvest field. I just need to get out of there. This church service is going too long. I just want to get out there. I just want to tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, Lord, please help me. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm just going to die if I don't get to tell people about Jesus. I just need to see somebody get saved. I just want to see people get saved. And I know if I can just tell them the gospel, if I can just get them to come to church. But even if they don't come to church, even if they won't come to church with me, I know, Lord, if I could just sow that seed, Lord, you'll water it. Please, Jesus, please, Lord, give me the heart of an evangelist. I want to see people saved. I want to see them saved. And then I want to see him go on the rest of the way. But for right now, that's my initial heart. God, why don't these people care about the lost? They're just playing church. All they do is come to church. I bet most of these people this week haven't even witnessed. I bet they haven't even talked to anybody about Jesus. I bet some of these people sitting here, it's been even years since they told a single soul about the Lord. Father God, this grieves me. Lord, we need to do something about this. Lord, please work it out so that I can get up and maybe on a Wednesday night I can share with people my burden about souls and maybe I can organize some groups that will go out and minister door to door and we'll bring tracts and we'll pass them out. Yeah, let's get some of those old little chick tracts, those cute little chick tracts they used to pass out. They were wonderful. They just gave the gospel message in a sweet little comic, just a few pages And you knew you wanted to be the guy who was going to heaven, not the guy that was in hell. Jesus, please. Please, Lord. Please. I really want to see people get saved. Oh, Lord, and you remember that dream I had the other night. That dream. And now I'm kind of acting out something that happened with one of my sons. That dream where I was on a road and there were hundreds and thousands of people. And when I got to the end of the road, there was a angel, and he was telling some people to go to the right and some people go to the left. And the people that were going to the one direction to the right, you saw that they were going into the glory of heaven. It was beautiful. It was just, the doorway was beautiful. There was light, and it was just a glorious heavenly vision. But then I saw the people going to the left. It was like they were just falling off a cliff. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, please, Jesus, help me to stay solid in you. I don't want to be the one going off the cliff. And Lord, I don't want to see my friends and I don't want to see my family falling off the cliff into the abyss of hell and darkness and torment. Lord, I've got the heart of the evangelist. Lord, please help me to stir these people up, Lord. Father, if they're not called like I am, if they don't have this call to go and minister to the lost, or the call like my husband has to want to see people saved, who get so grieved at the thought of anybody going to hell. Lord, if I'm not the voice that's going to be speaking to the multitudes or even the one, then please, Lord, give me the heart of your people to make them realize that it's important to share their testimony. It's important to tell people why they're so happy and to tell people why they're so free and to tell people and explain the joy of the Lord and why they have such joy, even in the worst of trials, even when the most horrible things have happened. It's important for them to share. My message, my ministry isn't just to the worldly people, it's to the church too, Lord. Help me to stir people up. Help me to get people stirred up that they will want to preach this gospel, this salvation message. And even preachers who haven't touched on the basic message of salvation in years, Lord, stir their hearts afresh in Jesus' name. Now, I'm just going to conclude as I've been talking, and we'll just go through a quick little review. The prophet, he's in verse 1. You see him in verse 1. He cares about the state of your experience and what is ringing your bell and what are you cleaving to. He sees things in black and white, and that's the way he's going to come ministering to you. He's going to warn you of your sins. You read Ezekiel, you read any of the major prophets, and they were always concerned about sin. They were always concerned about uncleanness. They were always concerned about having the heart of the Lord for holiness. That's just the nature of the prophet. Don't resent them. That's what God called them to. And if that rings your bell, you might have the calling of a prophet. And then you got the teacher who loves the word, loves the teaching of the word, wants you to meditate it, wants you to stay in it, wants you to know your Bible, wants you to be able to rightly divide the word of the truth. Then you've got the apostle. He wants you to be established in the truth. He wants your life founded and grounded upon a solid rock. He wants your foundations rightly laid. And he's a builder. The apostle is the builder in the kingdom. He wants to see things built up, and he wants not only here but on foreign fields. He's the one who's sent. Actually, the apostle really basically means a sent one. It's usually missionaries, and we could go through a whole lot on you know, dissecting each one and developing each one. But this is just finding out what rings your bell. And then we've got the pastor. He wants to see you blessed and prospered. He cares about the nitty-gritty of your life. He cares. And he'll even help plug you into others who, where he sees that you need. Maybe he knows you need more teaching. He knows you need more foundation. He knows you need a word from the Lord. And he's kind of a facilitator. In some ways, the pastor is the facilitator. And that's what pastors should be. They should be able to see what their flock needs and to feed, to bring them to that particular feeding. And then we've got the evangelist who always has an eye for those who do not yet know the Lord, have not yet made Jesus their Savior. And he's concerned about it in a direct response to worldly people who need Jesus. And he's also concerned about it. A true evangelist is also concerned that God's people understand that he that winneth souls is wise, and that sheep beget sheep. Shepherds don't beget the sheep. The sheep beget the sheep. And he is going to cultivate desire in God's people to see souls saved, sinners turn to Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father God, In Jesus' name, Lord. Sometimes we go through things too quick, but yet too slow. And I just pray that God, your people, hear your heart for them individually and particularly. Lord, not all of us are called to a fivefold ministry, but God, we are all called to be in relationship with one another. We're called to pray for one another. And you can even bring to mind, Lord, whatever, whoever we know who's in the battle, Lord, and in the work of the ministry that we can be praying for, Lord. We may have a prophet in our life, a pastor in our life, an evangelist or apostle or a prophet in our lives that needs our prayers, Lord, and needs our support, Lord God, and just a sense that we see what you are doing to minister to God's people. And we're thankful, Lord. Just give us a thankful heart for those who you call, Lord, those who are ministering, especially those who have sacrificed, Lord, and put your people first, that your people can be fed and ministered to, that we can grow, and that we can come into the fullness of who you are, Lord, and who we are to be in you, Lord Jesus. Now I just pray your blessing to be upon your people this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.